When President Trump said yesterday that Iran appears to be standing down in its conflict with the United States, he also announced new economic sanctions on the country. Iran is already under crushing sanctions that have fueled some anti-government protests. We want to hear now from someone with a unique perspective on Iran, someone who spent 544 days in an Iranian prison after being arrested back in 2014 when he was the Washington Post Tehran bureau chief. Jason Rezaian is back at the Post and joins us from Washington. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back on, Jeremy.
So Iran's supreme leader says that the missile strikes were a slap in the face, but that more needs to be done to avenge Soleimani's death. President Trump said Iran appears to be standing down. How do you see it?
I think that what we saw today was kind of best case scenario of what had to happen. Now what we have to look for is whether or not cooler heads will prevail in the weeks and months to come. You know, as far as the supreme leader's stance, you have to consider that he is in charge of a country of 80 million people that has seen widespread protests in recent weeks. And has also just lost his most important military commander, somebody who the state propaganda machine has built a cult of personality around. So they had to do something. To me, firing some missiles at a location where it was pretty clear that nobody would be hit is a fairly weak response. But, you know, the Iranian regime, like many authoritarian regimes, use bluster as a way to, you know, convince their own populations of their strength and fortitude. And I think, you know, have to give a little bit of credit to President Trump for recognizing that the severity of the situation was not really escalated by this Iranian move and that, you know, he sort of walked it down just a little bit.
Do you think that he made the right move by killing Soleimani in the first place?
That's something that we're going to be debating for a long time. I've spoken to people in the Bush administration and the Obama administration who told me that they had many multiple opportunities to take out Soleimani over the years, but the risks of doing so were too great. And I kind of chalk that up to the fact that both of those administrations, while their Iran strategies and policies were very different, they actually did have some strategy in mind, whereas I don't think the Trump administration does. And, you know, while there are advisors to President Trump who are salivating at the opportunity to create a new conflict in the Middle East and try and take down the Iranian regime, I don't necessarily think that that's where the president's head is at himself. So for the time being, today, he made the right choice.
So when a terrorist leader like al-Baghdadi of ISIS gets killed, a lot of the experts will say, well, that doesn't really matter because somebody else is just going to come in and fill his place. In the case of Soleimani, what does it mean for the regime? Is there somebody else who is going to be able to have his military and strategic smarts that can step in, or is the regime kind of lost without him?
I don't think the regime is lost. In 1989, at the end of a long 8-year war between Iran and Iraq, the founder of the regime, then Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini, died. And everybody thought that that was going to signal the demise of the regime. If you look in Cuba, everybody for years thought that when Fidel Castro would die, that would be the end of that regime. That's not how these regimes are built. They're built to sustain. They have long tentacles and different people able and ready to fill spaces. What's less clear is who that person will be, what sort of relationships they already have. And frankly, even though Qasem Soleimani was somebody who wielded great power and influence in the region for over 20 years, nobody ever heard of him before 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. ago. So, you know, I would be cautious in thinking that this is going to signal the demise of the Islamic Republic or a huge problem for them. They'll continue with their same strategies that have worked for them in the past and recalibrate as necessary based on new threats from their own populace, from their neighbors, from the United States, and the economic problems that they've been facing for recent years.
In the last several days, we have seen not just the death of Soleimani, but the deaths of dozens of people in the stampede at his funeral,
right.
Then the plane crash that killed, I think, 176 people, including many Iranians. What do you think this is like for the Iranian people?
I'm glad you asked. I always want to turn our gaze back to the experience of people inside that country. It's not one that gets a lot of attention when we have these big policy discussions in the media. I think Iranians have been living through a very difficult period of time. One could argue that it's been difficult going back to 1953 when the U.S. overthrew their democratically elected prime minister. Others would say it's been going through a difficult time since the Islamic Republic came into being in 1979. I would say specifically in the last couple of years since the U.S. pulled out of the nuclear deal with Iran, Iranians feel increasingly hopeless. They don't feel represented by their regime, but they also don't understand why they are forced to suffer the weight of the economic sanctions that are intended to change their regime's behavior. While everybody knows that the regime isn't going to change its behavior based on pain suffered by normal people. Your question about the airplane going down, you know, there's still so much that we don't know about that incident. But what we do know is that Iran has a terrible civil aviation history, most importantly because they haven't been able to buy new plane parts for their fleet of Boeing planes. In this situation, it wasn't an Iranian plane, so we don't think that's a concern. But pretty much everybody in Iran knows somebody who's died in a plane accident. And you know, to the point about the stampede, we've been debating back and forth whether the crowds at these events were real or they were manufactured by the regime to show a greater presence of mourners than may have actually been there. Regardless, people in any part of the world shouldn't face imminent death because they went out to the streets to take part in a ritual or a ceremony. So, you know, at the end of the day, the lives of Iranian people, the value of lives of Iranian people is not something that gets a lot of attention paid to it, neither by the United States government nor the Iranian one. And I hope that they become more of a focus of these things in the future.
Well, then let's talk about them in relation to the economic sanctions that President Trump is now talking about. I mean, he is not responding militarily to the missiles, but he says he wants more sanctions on Iran. What is that going to do?
Sanctions is the only playbook that this administration has been reading from, and I think that every moment the president has been advised to add more sanctions, that at a certain point the imminent downfall of the Islamic Republic will come through because of these sanctions. Well, that's never happened in the past. What happens is people become exacerbated, their needs become more desperate, and they potentially rise up in anger against the regime that is tasked with feeding them, right? To me, that's not a very humane way of going about things. And if you're going to create a situation where sanctions are the ultimate deterrent force or stick, as we say, there's got to be some carrots as well. And the Iranian people don't feel as though they're being given anything in exchange for being forced to suffer this burden. We've got a travel ban against them. They're unable to come here to study or do business. The idea that through sanction in Iran, somehow we are contributing to their democratic aspirations in a positive way is a farce. And I think we see that more clearly every day.
Well, so let me finally ask you what you think about the protest movement that we saw not very long ago in Iran against the government. Do you see that restarting if the tensions with the U.S. die down a little bit?
Jeremy, I think that those protests never really stopped. There's been protests inside Iran on and off for the entire history of the Islamic Republic. I think that we can expect to see more of them, not in the coming days, but maybe in the weeks and months ahead. And ultimately, we have to look for ways to consider what the next steps will be, whether it will be renegotiating some sort of diplomatic settlement with the current regime or helping to foster a transition to something else. But I don't think that the idea of the downfall of the regime and a transition to something more representative and democratic is anything that's in the near horizon.
That is Jason Rezaian at The Washington Post. His book is called Prisoner. It's about his 544-day imprisonment inside Iran. Jason, always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.